All right. Yeah, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. But I've got my special guest on the lines, Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, before we were going to a break, we were talking a little bit about...
Actually, I wanted to leap them a little bit. Go ahead, on one issue, Dr. Craig, you know, we seem to take as a given the nature of the voting block. So we take now rural Wisconsin, Wisconsin Rapids and all these places, and we just have assumed them away in terms of being potential Democratic voters. And when we look at the map and call it gerrymandered, part of the gerrymandering has been a shift in the voting records and the voting styles of parts of outstate Wisconsin, so that these places that had workers who worked for paper mills, like Wisconsin Rapids, used to be blue, and now they're not. And so I guess my disappointment in the discussion to date on this on that issue is the notion that the Democratic Party probably should broaden its appeal so that it is not so predictable who its base is, and so that outstate, and so it would be easier not to have districts drawn that would have this effect that we call gerrymandering. Some of the effect of the Republican, disproportionate Republican power is the result of willful gerrymandering. But even if you remove willful gerrymandering, it becomes very difficult to draw district lines which would bring the Republican majority into a state of high risk in Wisconsin because of the concentration of Democratic voters geographically and in urban centers. So I guess my belief is that the Democratic Party needs to work very hard at broadening its appeal and reaching back out to parts of the state which we now cede to Republicans.
I actually agree with you. We're one of the few groups that organizes statewide and does build, you know, rural organizing bases and work on rural issues like CAFO expansions. That's the concentrated animal feeding operations. And a lot of the state's been abandoned by the Democrats. I would say just in terms of the natural gerrymander, you're right about that, but it would not guarantee a Republican majority. If you were to draw fair maps, there would be Republican majority, assuming everything went to the majority in the district, of 53, 54 votes out of 99 in the assembly. That is winnable for Democrats if they campaign better, or if there's an election like 2018 where they got a ton more votes than Republicans in state assembly races. But the maps were such then that the Republicans still held the majority. This one, analysts agree, guarantees a Republican supermajority, which is fundamentally undemocratic. So more of it is the official gerrymander. There is a natural part, and you're right. I think it's deeper than the Democratic Party, Sandy. In other words, Democratic Party is about winning elections. You can't just come around areas every 4 years or every 2 years with a message. You need to organize deeply within them. Catherine Kramer, the UW-Madison political scientist, has a great book called The Politics of Resentment of why rural Wisconsinites have moved and what are the political and cultural issues. And it is this urban-rural divide, and it is actually not in the interest of most rural voters. In fact, Republican policies are harming their areas, but we need to start making that case all the time, more fundamentally, in organizing people in those areas. And we will not do it all ourselves, but I can tell you Citizen Action of Wisconsin has been doing that and is committed to doing as much of it as we possibly can, but we need other people in the field.
All right. Well, then we're on the same page on that, because from my standpoint, just as a non-expert observer of the process, I'd say that's a serious issue that the Democrats need to come to grips with, and we need to get away from the patchwork quilt concept that I think sank the Hillary Clinton ship.
Unfortunately, the right-wing message machine that has really activated over time, and with the loss of unions, you're right to point that out, Sandy, that was a counterbalance, has been able to shift, and this is a national thing, not just in Wisconsin, though Wisconsin still has some of the more purplish rural areas in the country, like all of the whole Driftless area along the Mississippi, large part of Wisconsin, is still much more purplish, and we do organize there, but we're also in north central Wisconsin, which has become pretty deep red outside of the cities. But I was going to address, Earl, the question of how the Democrats could win this national election despite the incredible headwind.
Yes.
And that is, the Republicans have begun to discredit themselves. But here's the question. The unknown is, on Roe versus Wade, how many people our side can actually mobilize to vote who wouldn't have voted otherwise? The opinion numbers and the upset about it is overwhelming, but it has to be converted into voting. And that our enemy there is the sense that the Democrats aren't doing enough, that and Biden's in a tough spot because he doesn't have much power to do anything, but there's a demand that he's president. Why can't he do something? Why can't he make sure women's rights are not taken away? So we've got to cut through that and get people to vote on it and get over the cynicism and the demoralization. But then the other thing is, a lot of the polling shows that not passing his domestic agenda has been really harmed the Democrat. And we're on the verge of a deal with Manchin of prescription drug prices. That is a wildly popular issue that is an inflation issue. In fact, it's one of the top inflation issues if you dig into the polls. The same on health care prices and the same on a billionaire's tax or something close to it, which is wildly popular and polling shows could inspire a lot of people to vote and also could bring some people to switch. It's popular across independents and even Republicans, and it really lays Republicans bare on the fact that they're mainly servants of the billionaires and the largest corporations. And then action on climate change, which there's a polling that UW-Madison did that it's the top public issue in Wisconsin, and they can still get huge investments, historic generational investments, and that is being done right now. There is new news the last couple of days that agreements are being struck and deals are being sent to the parliamentarian. It's going to be a complicated process to do it with 50 votes that requires all sorts of Senate process. So this will be something going on during the summer, but if they can get it done, Earl, that also helps. But even then, what we're talking about now, and the snapshot is can be very misleading. The media jumps on one set of polls and situation and convinces the public something is true for the whole election. But the Senate looked lost. Now it looks 50-50, and it looks like Democrats could even build on their majority. The House still looks like the Republicans will win, but it's a much closer margin. So if we make more progress, the Democrats could eke out a victory here. It would be like, you know, UW-Madison in basketball upsetting a blue blood. They'd have to, we have to play a perfect game, and we'll pull it out by the skin of our teeth if we do. So it's possible.
So, Dr. Craig, let me ask you, because there's this pushback, this divide, even amongst the Democrats, the progressives and others who are still blaming and expecting more out of President Biden than, as you just stated, he can actually deliver. But the angst and anger that they have, many of them have, because they can't, we're not getting what many of us wanted to see happen with Democrats controlling everything. Our eyes were really bigger than our stomachs, and so it didn't happen. But there are people who are holding President Biden, Democrats, who are holding President Biden accountable and that he's not aggressive enough. You say what?
I understand people think when they're electing the president, they're electing someone with immense power. And they are to some degree, but they don't have the power to pass laws. They're very weak in the Constitution as far as domestic policy. They've claimed a lot more foreign policy authority than was ever intended under the Constitution, actually, which also has some very negative ramifications. But I was going to say that I understand how common people are just like, why can't the president do anything? They don't understand, and nor should they have to. We need to fix the legislative process, but it's a complete mess. The filibuster is not in the Constitution and is highly anti-democratic. But what happened is the majority was too thin. We need to think about what's been accomplished. It was the first time in 50 years Democrats have proposed sweeping reforms that really improve people's lives. So that's progress. And we could have passed it with every – we had enough votes among moderate and progressive Democrats and a bigger progressive base of elected Democrats in Congress than in decades. We could have passed it except for two U.S. senators. So we're close. And that's what we have to show people. And it would help if we got a down payment if they got some serious accomplishments this summer.
Dr. Craig, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much. It's always great talking to you.
Always great to be with you.
All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.